Okay. So everybody's here for this class, hopefully, fasting and detoxification. So I'm Kim Schiffer. I am a naturopath and I work out of Illinois. Come on in.
Hello.
Find a seat. You are very welcome. And I've worked as a naturopath since 2010. I have a degree in holistic nutrition and a degree in naturopathy, and I'm a certified aromatherapist. So, come on in. Hello. I've been doing fasting, specifically water fasting and different types of fasting, probably for the last 8 years. It's been an interest of mine. So my background, and come on in, have a seat. We should have plenty of.
Oh. She's over here.
You want me to turn the light on a minute? Everybody find their seat. Be able to see who you need to see. Would you guys prefer me to leave the light on? You just can't see this as well. We're good? Okay. All right, just be able to see this better. So I got really interested in fasting once I learned of the health benefits, and I got really interested even more once I started fasting. First couple times I did it didn't go too well, but you know, I can get into some of my experience at some point if we go there we want to. But so I'm a bit curious before we start, who has ever done a water fast? Raise your hand.
Just a water fast?
Water fast.
Juice.
Well, okay.
Along with a food fast or
just water.
Just water.
Okay. How about like a juice fast? Okay.
When you say water fast, what does that mean?
Drinking water for a period. Only drinking water. I'm sorry. Yeah, so just drinking water.
Food.
No food. No salads. And then intermittent fasting? Okay. Yeah, and then who would consider themselves a beginner faster? Intermediate? Advanced?
What's advanced?
I don't know. I could ask you like how many days you've gone. I'm trying to get a feel kind of where you guys are.
And we've done food and water fasting.
Okay.
Food and water fasting.
Come on in.
Turn the light on. Without.
Okay.
I don't know how that goes in.
I mean, that's fine. I'm just trying to get an idea.
Oh.
Yeah?
I did 20 days, which is juicing fasting.
Okay.
But my iron levels dropped.
Yeah.
So low that I had to stop. So that doesn't make a problem for me.
Yeah, and there's reasons. Yeah, there's reasons that can all happen. Yeah. So, all right. So I would love to stay up there, but I don't have a remote that's working, so I'm going to be back here most of the time with my slides. So come on in. Maybe should have waited to start. Okay. Quick disclaimer, fasting is a very powerful modality. My belief is that this comes from the Father, and it should be between me and Him on whether you should be fasting. But I do believe because of its powerful abilities, and there have been people that have done intense fasting and have died. So it's possible, and you can't necessarily just go into it willy-nilly. I mean, you certainly can. You can go however the Father leads you, but there is power in it, and because of the intense detoxification that you can experience with it, you do have to be careful. However, because of all of the powerfulness of it, it can change your life. It can change your health radically like nothing else. All right, so what is detoxification? So these are the standard definitions of what it is to detoxify. So detoxify is to remove a harmful substance, poison, a toxin, a chemical, some kind of pollutant, cellular debris in our body, cellular waste, or the effect of that, to make a substance harmless, and then to also free from an intoxicating or addictive substance, in the body or from the dependence on or an addiction to that substance. So what you have with a lot of this is that you have food addiction happening, I think, more than some of us realize. If you start to really, come on in, have a seat. Your seat's over here. I think I realized really quick when I started fasting that how much I really wanted to eat food when I wasn't eating food anymore. And it wasn't so much after a while, you can lose your appetite. And it's not so much physical as it can be mental in our mind and our will and our desires and what we just want, what we want to eat and want to have. So detoxification can be done in a lot of different ways. So you know what, I'm gonna put this one up. I'm gonna talk about this one a bit. So who here, or look at y'all, who here has done any kind of like detox in general? Okay. What are some kind of detoxes that you've done? I mean, these are basically the five main detoxification systems in the body. So a lot of times centering a detox plan around one of these is a good way to start. Colon is probably the most important, probably not the most popular for obvious reasons. But if you are trying to get things out of your body, things need to be coming out of your body. If they're not, then you're just going to get backed up in that process. So usually if somebody doesn't have good bowel health, getting your bowel to function properly first is step number one. So good bowels is typically at least 1 to 3 bowels a day. We can get into that if you guys want to.
Are you taking any kind of
Sure.
Go ahead. Is a colonic regimen, what you consider colon detoxification?
It can't be one of them. There's a lot of them. I mean, there's so many different ways to detoxify. You can do programs where you modify your diet, whether that is just a changed diet or completely into like a water fast or somewhere in between. And then usually there is the addition of adding like cleansing herbs and things like that. So with a colon cleanse, they can use things that help to stimulate the bowels or pull things out of them. And then there can be all the natural therapies you add to that. So that could be colonics, enemas for colon cleanse. The liver cleanse will be things like castor oil packs. You can do things like rebounding for the lymph. Sort of rebounding, that's those little mini trampolines that you kind of bounce up and down on. So those are some different things that you can add in with the cleanse and do that. So I've kind of put colonics on that. They're really good for the colon.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but
before
we get going, will all these be on somewhere like your slides and stuff?
I can get them. I know that the talk will be there. I don't know if the slides will.
Okay.
Because I'm not in charge of that, but it can be all available. I know when I've taught before, I've emailed them to people.
Okay.
So I'm fine with emailing them. I can go over all these individual systems and what might indicate that you would need to cleanse your colon, liver, kidney, and for your blood. Show of hands, would you like me to go over that in detail, or should we move on?
No.
Detail?
Yes.
Okay. So major symptoms the colon's pretty simple. If it's moving, and if it's always been moving, and you're having bowel movements, you're pretty good. If you're not really loose, not dealing with constipation, if you don't have hemorrhoids, if there's no really bad smells, smells normal, but really bad smells are not. Usually doesn't hurt to do a colon cleanse at all if you've never done one. In medical school, when they open up cadavers, they have a term for what they find inside people's intestines. They were digging around in there, right? And in the large intestine, there was so much what they've now labeled mucoid plaque. Heard that
say it again.
Mucoid plaque, M-U-C-O-I-D. This was basically this really hard, tough substance that coated the inside of the colons. It's like a
far, you know, if you just think of really old stuff in there, and it gets really dehydrated and built up, and it's, you know, everybody has at least 5 to 10 pounds of it.
Okay. So,
people that have a hard time losing weight here, or feel like it's not really fat, you just feel like there's like this constant bloat or distension, and you can't get rid of it, sometimes it can be just that.
So, excuse me.
Yeah.
Would fasting the colon help get rid of that stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to, the white plaque specifically is a little bit harder to get to, but I've been able to remove it. So, you know, and fasting, water fasting is a little harder to remove it that way. You usually have to get some herbs in there to like pull it out a little bit, but fasting, water fasting.
So when you have this, it's not pain, but you can feel it on right here on my left side. And I feel that when I drink like house milk, anything like ice cream or heavy cream or things like that.
Okay.
Is that just an allergy or is it something else?
How quickly do you feel that?
After I eat, like I said, the dairy products.
Like within minutes or?
Oh, no. No. Probably when it goes through.
As it goes through.
Then probably 12 hours or whatever.
Yeah, so.
And also, it also does it sometimes, not always, when I eat really spicy.
Yeah, so I would wonder if you've got some inflammation going on there. That's a common area of colon to be inflamed. So maybe those foods are, you know, inflaming you, or, you know, specifically, or irritating, or something like that. Liver, there's, a lot of people have liver imbalances. Very, very, very. Liver detoxifies. So, common liver symptoms are waking up in the middle of the night between 1 and 3 a.m. and not being able to go back to sleep. Being tired, especially between 1 and 3 p.m. that afternoon slump. Any kind of skin conditions, eczema, acne, dry skin, itchy skin, especially headaches, migraines. Often headaches can be other things. Migraines are almost always liver. And then you've got other symptoms, having, you know, sensitivities to perfumes or smells, things like that. Being sensitive to medications, all of those are indications that your liver is in want.
Is milk thistle the best thing for the liver?
Milk thistle is a really good place to start. Helps to build up liver function. Doesn't usually help you detox, but it helps your liver to be stronger. So it's a really good one to start with. Yeah.
Why does it cause tiredness, like between 1 and 3, I wonder?
So, according to kind of the way our body works throughout the day, so our body's energy is in different parts of the day. So when we wake up, most people wake up and have bowel movement, right? First thing in the morning. That is because the energy is in the bowels between 5 to 7 a.m. From 7 to 9 a.m. goes into the stomach. We then are supposed to be eating, right? This is when our digestion gets started for the day. And then in the night, we're more detoxifying. So in the middle of the night, between 1 and 3 a.m., the liver is detoxifying. So it's dumping chemicals into the bloodstream. If there's too much, if it's too energizing, it wakes you up. While that's happening, you're just awake with that experience.
I was like that all the time when I was pregnant with both my babies.
Yeah. Kidneys detox in the night between 3 and 5 a.m. So that's usually when most people wake up to go to the bathroom. It's just during that time. And your kidneys take between 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. This could be like frequent urination, swelling, arthritis, achiness, and these both, of course, can be a lab zone. These will be on your labs. Kidney values are often ignored on labs. I can get that if you want, but that is one. I've seen a lot of people with kidney failure that doesn't get acknowledged by medical doctors. Lymph is your immune system. It's your lymphatics and your immune system. People that have eaten a lot of sugar or drinking a lot of alcohol or both most likely have a lymphatic system that needs detoxing because that's some of the worst food for our immune system. other things can be overall tiredness, sluggishness, cellulite is a big one that's congested when you have the edema, different things like that. Anything going on with the immune system, autoimmunity, that's a giveaway. Anything with going on, allergies, asthma, autoimmunity, anything that's related to the immune system.
Is dry brushing good?
Yes.
For the
dry brushing.
How many times are you supposed to do that?
I do it every night.
Every night?
Except here at camping.
So was that with me? What you do?
It's a dry brush.
It's a brush?
It's like a dry bristle brush and you, there's different techniques.
My mom would process
it. You just do it randomly.
Yes, you have your lymphatic system throughout your whole body, just like you have all your blood vessels throughout your whole body. And your lymph system, your immune system, doesn't really have a pump like our heart. So our heart pumps our blood, and our blood is very thin. We don't really have a big pump for our lymph, and our lymph can be thick, because it's like it's mucus. So if you think of how thick that can be, you've got to pump that from the bottom of your feet all the way up.
Come on. I'm so sorry.
You're okay.
I thought you were there.
And rehoming is really good.
We have our seats.
Is it okay if I put you?
So
I'm going to sit on the floor.
There's seats over there.
No, it's okay. I'll sit right here.
There's two.
Oh, there's another one over here.
No, I appreciate it.
Excuse me.
Well, that was
very cool.
Is being real mucusy a sign that you need a lymph detoxification?
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty obvious.
So what's the lymph detox?
Oh, so we'll get, hopefully in day two, we'll get into like how to do these, like what a plan is to get a detox done. Whatever it's going to be.
The brush thing, where do you get the brush?
Well, you can get those in any kind of, just
Amazon.
Do a search online for dry brush and you'll have these stores. Yeah, they're just, the blood and skin is not necessarily a major organ, but it is. Skin is our biggest detoxification organ. It's all over us and all that. And if you have kind of what it's called like toxic blood or like blood where there's just too much toxins in them and your liver and your kidneys aren't pulling it out, it shows up in your skin. So it's like the quickest exit way. So this can be anything skin related. Like again, it's a lot of these liver symptoms I've talked about, like the acne and the dryness, any kind of psoriasis, eczema, stuff like that showing up on the skin, hives, all those sorts of things can be a reflection of the blood going on. And so needing your blood kind of cleansed and all that, the skin goes with that. So on the other side over here, these are just the other things I was kind of talking about you potentially with the cleanse, you want to change your diet, you don't have to, but while doing some kind of detoxification or cleanse, typically change your diet. Add in different herbs if you're not water fasting to help that, the natural therapies, and then if you lifestyle modifications would be like, you know, ideally if you can not work all day long while doing that, give your body a break for a little while, do something different, spend more time with your father, do different things like that, get outside, you know, do some of those things that are good for your soul.
You know, if someone would not mind pushing this arrow button, I won't have to go back and forth, but.
Guess what, I'm right here.
I would love it, I would still appreciate
one?
It. So, it's just gonna be, that when
one.
I tell you, just
put your thumbs up.
Push your arrow.
Okay.
So, most of these are fairly simple. This is the different types of fasting. So, and there's no like has to be this way in my opinion. It doesn't have to be that way, have to be this way. But these are just some general things that you can focus on. So liquid fasting is fairly simple. You're still consuming calories, but you're not consuming fiber. So you're giving all of your gut, everything basically beyond your stomach, a break. And that can be very impactful, especially if you're doing more like a colon-related cleanse. I'm trying to give your digestion a break. If you've got a lot of gut issues, digestive issues, that can be very helpful there. And if you have a hard time water fasting, juice fasting or liquid fasting can be much easier. It was me in the beginning, I couldn't water fast. successfully. I was flat on the ground, not being able to get up. So,
the Jews, what kind of Jews? Isn't that sugar? A lot of sugar?
So you typically want to have a juicer and juice your own. And do mostly vegetables with like a tiny little bit of fruit sometimes if you need it. Yeah?
I did a lot of juice fasting because I was 285 and I started juice fasting. The longest stint I went was 30 days.
Good for you.
But what I found worked best for me, especially with the sugar crash, is I would go 80% vegetables and 20% fruit.
Yeah.
And
nice.
That absolutely helped me from crashing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The straight up. Yeah. I would not. I don't think there would be a reason why I'd ever say just do fruit or do high fruit. It's usually going to cause those glycemic fluctuations too much.
Where does apple cider vinegar play into your
I mean, you could do that with liquid. You could do that with liquid fasting. You could.
Is that better than like your juices and stuff like that? Because it is the apple byproduct.
I mean, you're not going to be able to drink a lot of it, right?
Yeah,
so,
I
like,
understand it, but
yeah, I mean,
says it's good
I think
for
it
you.
Would be an addition to rather than either.
Because
one.
When you're drinking for a fast, you're drinking usually a high quantity. So, I mean, quart upon quart, you know, many, many, many cups. You're not going to, you might add a little apple cider vinegar to it,
right
to help improve things, but you're not going to sit. Is that what you mean? You're not going to sit and drink a whole bunch. But you don't have to add it. I mean, that's, if you don't like it, I don't like it either. I don't use it very often, but in salad dressings. Yeah.
So for the Jews, we could make, you can buy the greens, like Sam's Club, and do that two or three times a day for your Jews. Would that work?
Are you talking about like a bottled juice or green powder?
Well, it comes in a powder.
Yeah.
So you put it in water, shake it up, and
you can do that. There's not a lot of calories in that usually, so you have to be kind of aware of your calorie content. It will give you nutrients, and that can be helpful. So, but if you're doing the juice fasting because you have a hard time water fasting, you want to make sure your calories are at least usually. But you can certainly try that. I do that a lot, actually. I do the green powdered drinks when I do juice fasting. So, but you got to kind of know how your body does with it too, I think.
So you can add it to it.
Well, most of the time I work hard. I'm a plumber, so I expel a lot of energy.
Yeah.
So I probably, if I do it during the week, I would probably have to have some kind of energy.
Right, right.
I do it on Sunday.
Yeah, I would not, I usually don't recommend someone does long water fasting while working.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's. I don't, you can do it. I just don't think that's what the Father designed it to be like.
Why my iron levels were so low when I was doing liquid fast?
I don't know how quickly I can address that, but it would probably depend on what you're drinking, probably depend on your constitution. Could have been that you needed more greens would be my thoughts, that you weren't getting enough. Like if you want to do it again, I would say you probably want to do lots of barley grass, wheat grass, chlorella, spirulina, because you would get all of, because iron is nearly identical to hemoglobin, molecularly. Just one difference between them. So it's basically like a blood transfusion when you drink chlorophyll and all these greens. So that would be my recommendation. I don't know what, you know, happened with your last fast, but to prevent that in the future, I think that would be a possible thing that might help. Okay, intermittent fasting. Is anybody not familiar with that? You want me to go over it? I feel like that's pretty well known. Yeah? Okay. So usually that's done at least, you know, with a 14-hour period of not consuming anything caloric. Water fasting, okay, we're going to get into that quite a bit. Dry fasting, okay, and water fasting is, I said earlier, was asked that's consuming only water. Just water completely.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Is there a particular type of water?
Oh, well.
Sealed?
Yeah. So that can be open to, you know, opinions. But in my opinion, I don't think distilled is very good because there's nothing in it. Mm-hmm. It's lacking minerals, which some say that will help pull things out of the body. But distilled water doesn't exist naturally in nature. We wouldn't have drank it. We would have drank from a stream usually, or a well. There's always minerals in those things. So I make distilled water myself. I have a water distiller, but I always add minerals to it because I believe that's what water naturally is supposed to be. That's my own opinion.
Does Turkish take the minerals out?
I'm sorry. Let me just let her finish what she was.
I did a study on, there's like 9 different types of waters that exist. And the reason for distilled water is to absorb, I know activated charcoal absorbs, but it absorbs the inorganic matter out of our body.
Right.
And as far as minerals and nutrients and all that, that's what our food is for. Including what she was saying over there about iron, from my experience, you know, something like the greens, like what you're saying, but incorporating beet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very high in iron source.
Yeah.
So
yeah. There's good. There's good sources. Thank you. Okay.
So
yeah.
Berkey.
Yeah. So let me get.
If you use a berkey, does that take the minerals out or just?
Could somebody else answer that? Because I'm not sure what a berkey. If a berkey filters minerals.
I add salt or mineral salt to my water.
To your berkey.
That I get from my berkey.
From your berkey. Yeah.
I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
It
I can't.
Depends on the molecules, size. As to whether it takes it out or not.
So it takes out some minerals, not
it
all?
It takes out some.
Okay.
All.
Yeah.
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 I have a Columbia water machine.
Uh-huh.
The alkaline water.
Mm-hmm.
Is that good?
Mm-hmm. I mean, generally, especially with the fast, yes. The only thing that I sometimes caution with alkaline water is drinking it with a meal. Because when you eat food, you have high amounts or should ideally have amounts of stomach acid in your stomach. That is acidic, and if you drink a bunch of alkaline water, you can neutralize it.
Mm.
So, but you really shouldn't be drinking water with your meals anyway, because you dilute everything. So if you're doing that already, then you're good. But if you're still drinking with your meals, you gotta watch it. But alkaline water during a fast, you know, should be fine. Okay, did I get those? So dry fasting is no water, no food, no nothing. I'm not really going to talk about this. There are people that do it. There are people that do this successfully and with amazing results, and there's people that do this unsuccessfully. I would say this is the most cautionary, you know, if you are, yeah, I wouldn't do this. Just put it that way. Right. Again, between you and the Father, if you feel led, all to you. Okay. What's your name, by the way?
Oh, I'm Rosalie.
Rosalie, please. All right. So these are some of the kind of cautions I would say to someone that might want to consider whether they should do a water fast. So most of the time when I say fasting, I'm talking water fasting. So pregnant nursing, that probably goes without say, right? Young children, some young children can go a day, like Yom Kippur. I don't know, you know, as far as that goes, but that's only a day. Yeah.
My son's 13, but he's really overweight. Can he do it?
I mean, I can't speak from like professionally, but I do think there are some 13-year-olds that can.
He's an adult size.
Yeah, I would think probably. Type 1 diabetics, right, they risk way low. The hypoglycemia, which is a major, I think what commonly a lot of people experience when they do water fasting is like just the inability to have energy, just feeling really fatigued, having a hard time getting up. That can be hypoglycemia, can be low electrolytes, which we'll talk about. But if someone's got really, really bad hypoglycemia, you can still water fast, but normally it's a slow process. I'll kind of, you know, you want to kind of try, maybe just try intermittent fasting for a while. Try skipping breakfast, then try skipping breakfast and lunch the next time. Maybe try a whole day and just see. Usually see how far you can go. If you start getting hypoglycemic, eat, drink something, you know. So it's not super cautionary, but you need to be aware. Eating disorders can be, because fasting can be, you know, you can get a little addictive in a way, in my opinion. It can become an obsession sometimes, you know, you gotta kind of be mentally prepared for that. Anybody underweight, I do know people that have done water fasting that have been underweight and have cured like their ability to not be able to gain weight, But there's still a level of caution when you are already underweight, right? Because you, if you don't have fat to pull from, mm-hmm. you're pulling from your muscles. So that is a risk that you're going to take. You're going to lose muscle, but you're also going to potentially heal. So adrenal fatigue. This was my concern with my first fast. I didn't know I had adrenal fatigue. I tried fasting and I had to call somebody to go get me food because I couldn't get up. So flat on a sofa, I'd get up, I'd start to pass out and I couldn't get up. So I didn't know I had full on adrenal fatigue at the time, but I did. So that's how I found out. Good times. So what I usually recommend is if you have a very high stress life, if you are adrenal symptoms, there's a lot of them. So it's fatigue is a big one, poor focus, high stress, high anxiety, high depression. And then you've got different things like low appetite in the morning is another symptom. Generally feeling like not yourself, feeling off, belly weight, that's another one. This is more not the distension I talked about, but it's more actual fat around the belly is more adrenal fatigue. You can test your adrenals. It's not difficult to do. Doctors don't do it. I can set you up with testing. You could get adrenal testing done. It's not hard to do to figure out where you're at. Or you can carefully go into a fast, have drink or food on hand. I mean, most of you have probably done some with Yom Kippur, so you've got some idea how you do. And then the stress kind of goes with that. If you have a lot of stress, you're not going to detox very well. Yeah?
Just real quick, what are adrenals?
I'm sorry, yeah. So you've got your kidneys back here. Your adrenals sit right on top. Your adrenals are kind of the master of your endocrine system, master of your hormonal system. Because if you're stressed, they just take all the resources from all your other hormonal systems and don't let anybody else have any. If you're in fight or flight, it all goes to your adrenals. It manages your stress, your inflammation, your ability to kind of feel well, because it makes a lot of your neurotransmitters.
Sorry, I went to the next one.
That's okay. I figured we're going there. So yeah.
So what if you've been that way for years?
Well, that happens to a lot of us. I mean, you can heal your adrenals. I mean, again, so when I tested my adrenals, I mean, mine were flatlined. I was in stage 3. I'm not anymore. Praise the Father. I'm no longer in adrenal fatigue. So you can heal them. It's hard to do it when you're in fight or flight all the time. So part of that is you want to heal them physically. Another part is you want to heal them more mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, too. To try to, you know, you can have two different people in the same situation. You can have one that's stressed and one that's not. So I am a firm believer that a lot of it is our situation, our circumstances, and sometimes we can't do anything about it. But a lot of it is in here that we can change. How we see a stressor, how we feel in a situation. And that can come from inside and that can come from the Father and how he helps us change our perspective and still be grateful and still be thankful. And, you know, it's not always that easy, I know, but. Okay.
Can we back up one slide? May I add one?
Sure.
Somebody's on medication.
Okay, so you would say no, someone on medication shouldn't be on a fast?
Along that. Not that they shouldn't be on, just have caution.
Okay, you right. Know? I mean.
So if they're on high blood pressure and they're on this and they're, you know, if they're on mm-hmm. like 10 different medications, mm-hmm. those medications are going to amplify as you go through that fast, correct?
Well, so, yes, right. I mean, yes and no, because I mean. So blood pressure medication, as an example, as you go through a fast, it can heal your blood pressure.
It can.
So if you're continually taking your blood pressure medication, you can drop it too low.
Right.
Is that what you're referring
yes,
to?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. So yeah, the medication thing is always, you always got to kind of consider that. Some people get off their meds while they do fast. Some people don't.
But that's get on your own. Go to the doctor.
Yeah. That's a different thing. Okay.
Let the doctor take you off.
Mm-hmm. All right, if you could. Was it Rosalie? I'm not good with names. Rosalind?
Rosalie, Rosie,
Rose.
Okay, there are tons of benefits of fasting, tons. We have, but this is kind of what we have more research on. It's more of a newly researched field where biblically it's been around a very long time. So your microbiome, a lot of research that shows that microbiome changes during a fast, and those changes stay changed during a fast. If you're specifically targeting your colon, that generally certainly improves your microbiome. But when you're giving all of this a rest, it all starts to heal. Increases your human growth hormone. So this is what helps to keep our hormones working well, keeps us young, keeps everything running smoothly. Resetting your DNA. Now, this is powerful, very, very powerful. As far as the research we have for that, it really makes me wonder if even people that have gotten the vaccination, because it messes with your DNA, fasting, in my opinion, is one of the things that could potentially help with that. One, because we do have proof that it resets your DNA, and two, you are coming to the Father asking for healing, and He can do anything with that. So, hormone optimization. So, lots of people, especially women, have hormonal imbalances. Mm-hmm. Very, very common. This is because we're all stressed with the adrenals, but this is also because our environment is full of hormone disruptors, things that affect our hormones negatively, things like that. So this can help to rebalance hormones. Come on. Nope. Autophagy. This is what, if you start looking into intermittent fasting, and fasting, you'll hear a lot about autophagy. This is basically your cell's ability, your body's ability to get rid of old, damaged, not 100% functioning cells and make new ones.
Free radicals.
So, what's that?
Free radicals.
Yeah, so what it'll do, what your body will do through the stages of fasting, and we'll eventually get into the different stages and what happens in the body, but autophagy happens pretty quickly into fasting. It can happen within a couple days. What the body will do is when it's not busy digesting food every single day, all the time, it will go into look at your cells and it'll be like, okay, which one of these needs to go? Where are the really like the cells that are kind of like, not really doing their job, putzing around, having a hard time functioning? It'll kind of eat them, digest them, or get them out and make a new one. So it makes you a more optimizing individual cellularly. And your body, of course, because the Father made it intelligently, knows what needs healing. Instead of us trying to say, well, this does and that does, when you water fast and you put your trust in the Father to just heal you, body just, and He just does whatever needs to be done. Resets your taste. So this is a nice bonus if you are a person that finds yourself having a hard time giving up sugar, having a hard time giving up any kind of food. Salt, sugar, those tastes, we are so used to sugary food, salty food, that we get overstimulated by them. If you fast for a long period of time without them, whether that's water fasting or some kind of other fast, I remember coming out of a fast and eating like a piece of fruit, of course, is magical when you haven't eaten for a long time. But you go to eat something that maybe you ate before that even wasn't sweet to you before, and it's just super sweet, salty, just, and then you just get a different taste profile.
I ate a French fry like before, mm-hmm. like as a test, right? A disgusting French fry nonetheless, but it was a French fry. And then I went to that place and I ate a French fry afterwards, and it was so salty that I could not eat it. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't before, and it wasn't because they put more salt on it, mm-hmm. it's just my taste had changed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild. Yeah.
I guess that would be a perfect situation for people that are smokers, people we know in our own family and our surroundings that are smokers. And I know that, like you were talking about the skin being one of our greatest organs of detox, I remember a long, long time ago learning, if you want to prove to somebody how toxic they are from smoking, get them in a hottest bathtub possible and get a plain white sheet and just put it over them and let them detox just like that. And that sheet will no longer
yeah,
be white.
It won't be clean anymore. Yeah.
And that has helped so many people that mm-hmm. I know take that first step.
Yeah.
And now you're saying with the fasting, with the water fasting, it's going to reset those taste buds. Well, that's their number one problem. That and meat eating, they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Not that I'm against meat eating,
but I get it. Yeah.
Nonetheless, and caffeine.
But anyway. Well, I mean, a lot of us, like there's certain foods that we know we would be healthier not eating, but we still eat them. Why?
When my family
Why are we still eating them? What's that?
When my family would come and get in our bath, in our hot tub, after they would leave, I would notice a yellow ring around the
would you?
Tub and I had to clean it.
Oh, because they were smokers?
They were smokers.
Well. Yeah, and nicotine. That's really nasty
looking. Yeah. Okay, weight loss. Kind of obvious, right? Stop eating. Your body's going to eat you. Right? I mean, that's what it's got. So this is actually a very natural thing. People think fasting is kind of unnatural, but it is the way most kind of culture societies have been. There's the feast and the famine. You know, when there's lots of food in the spring, the summer, the fall, winter, not as much, you would eat a lot less. Or, you know, people could just go sometime without eating. One really good example of this is seen in animals that hibernate. How long do they go without eating? Without drinking, even. Tucked away, sleeping probably the whole time mostly, but maybe not.
What so, is it with comfort food in the fall though? You want all that stuff that's fattening, you know, chicken and noodles and things like that.
And again, a lot of those, I'll get you. A lot of those foods in the fall that are seasonal are foods that help to put weight on for the winter.
For the winter.
Right? So that's part of
the fall.
Right? It's natural too. Just in the animal kingdom, you'll see the same thing. You know, deer fatten up. I think all hunters know that, right? Deer fatten up in the fall. Right? Kind of thing. Because they know food's going to be more scarce in the winter. Yeah?
I've got a lot of, when I did those ones, it was juice fasting. And I sometimes didn't lose weight at all. And then other times, like, I think I went 2 weeks and then 1 week on and then 2 weeks off again, or two weeks fasting, 1 week, you know, just kind of, I was like getting a little shaky. And then 2 weeks, and I think I lost like just a couple pounds.
Okay.
Like, that's it.
So there can be quite a few reasons to that. One, for women, certain types of your cycle are going to help that or hurt that more. So there's certain parts of your cycle that is not the best to fast on and certain parts that are. Two, how you break your fast and start your fast is huge. So if you did anything different at the beginning and the end of your fast, especially at the end of your fast when you're breaking it, that can be make all the difference. And we'll get into that probably tomorrow. But I don't know if that would make sense for you or not. If not, I could maybe later talk to you about possible other things. I don't like this is number eight, but it's number eight. So spiritual connection. I'm gonna guess most people in here that have done any kind of length of a fast, even in Yom Kippur, maybe, if you've been able to tell how much clearer you can communicate and talk to the Father. Yes. I mean, just, I could try to explain some of my experiences, but it would cheapen the experience. I mean, it just cheapen it. It would cheapen it to put it to words. Absolutely. What I have experienced spiritually on long fasts. I can't, I would cry if I tried to talk about it. It is the most connected I have ever felt, above and beyond anything I've ever done. And that will forever sell me on water fasting. It's amazing. So not only, and I think that's part of why we fast, we're told to fast on Yom Kippur, is because it just, I think it strengthens that connection and that communication to easily hear from him and feel connected to him. I don't have research on all that stuff, but we learn that, I think, as we go. And then food addictions kind of goes with the tastes. A lot of times when you have a hard time giving a food up, when you've eaten it over and over and over, we get in habits, we get in addictions and all that, but when you stop something, and you create a new habit, you break those patterns, and you can't. It's much easier anyway. So often takes longer fasts to really get that, but you can. All right, Rosalind. Okay, so these are some very specific, again, These are actual quote unquote diseases. I don't like labels of diseases, but this is where a lot of the research is as far as what fasting helps. Obesity, I mean the weight loss, that's kind of speaks for itself. Diabetes, I think too, right? Very similar situation. Anything inflammatory? So anything that, any kind of diagnosis that has an itis, arthritis, okay? Gastritis, anything that's inflammatory in the body.
Prostatitis.
Mm-hmm, yep. Anything that's got an itis at the end. The itis just means inflammation. That's the medical term for inflammation.
My body's very sensitive to sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And I can, if I eat a donut yesterday in the morning, the next morning, it's just, I feel different, heavy, achy.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, sugar is good for nothing. Tastes great. It's good for nothing.
It's great for disease.
Yeah. 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 Yep, yep. It feeds all the bad stuff in the body, unfortunately. Autoimmune conditions, which is really awesome, because autoimmune conditions, of course, are a reflection more of the immune system, not of the individual organ. So Hashimoto's is not really a thyroid disorder. It's an immune disorder. But they treat it like a thyroid disorder. MS, not a nerve disorder, an immune disorder is what that is. So since this is cleansing your immune system, highly autoimmunity can get improved. Neurodegenerative, so this is awesome because this is cognition, this is your focus, this is your memory, this is your longevity. This is how well you can think and remember and experience life. And so there's not always a lot of help for people that have neurodegeneration, brain degeneration, poor cognition. Over and over and over, if you start studying longevity and you start looking at the studies they've done on what makes people live the longest, does anybody know what it is? That over and over and over, what was that?
Light eaters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Typical light eaters. The less, and this is, there's of course, you know, a line there. Don't go, you know, going into not eating ever, but the less you typically eat, the longer you live.
Can I just throw something out here real quick?
Yeah.
There's a book called Genesis Diet,
best
book ever.
And yeah.
It just is a real easy book to read, but in the back it has some testimonies from centenarians, people that
were
at the age of 100. And it was interesting that a lot of them were like, just ate when they were hungry, ate very little, worked a lot. A lot of them ate very little meat. It's an excellent, excellent book. So
awesome.
It's called Genesis Diet, in case anybody's interested.
Cool.
Great.
Really good
great.
Book. Yeah.
Yeah.
So things like Alzheimer's.
Dementia, Parkinson's, ALS. Yeah. Yep.
Well, can I just say something?
Of course. Yeah.
I took care of elderly in my house for 6.5 years. Okay, they lived with me. They didn't want to go to a nursing home. They didn't want to go to a hospice. And I had two types. I had those that were Alzheimer, okay, dementia, and then I had those with diseases. And what was interesting is the ones with the diseases, they were dying of, you know, high blood pressure, they were dying of diabetes, they were dying of the cancer, had their mind. But the ones that were, you know, Alzheimer and such,
mm-hmm.
they were stronger than an ox.
Mm.
Okay, now what I found out is that none of these people drank water, neither sets.
Mm.
And I came to the realization that I believe, like you've been teaching us today, how important water is in cleansing and building and
yes.
the whole nine yards. So yeah. I just wanted to throw that out.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
I read a book All these diseases that we have in the Western world are caused by diuretic acid. That it needs not to go above 5. If you test what your blood level is in the diuretic acid,
You're not pronouncing it right.
Are you talking about uric acid?
Uric acid?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If it's above 5, 4, 8, I think is
yeah.
really good. But you get all these obesity, diabetes, mm-hmm. inflammation, mm-hmm. the autoimmune, the
yeah.
dementia.
Yeah.
a cancer, all this comes from
acid.
That level is too high.
Yeah.
But we can't discard the fact of everything that is put in our food. We can't discard the fact of everything that's put in our food.
Oh, of course. And he has a whole list of stuff, the processed stuff, keep away from it. That jacks it up.
Right,
and it's quite an interesting study that man, he's a medical profession.
Mm-hmm.
So he's recognized as having the credentials.
Yeah.
And he goes all over the world and speaks
and teach on that.
Of
wonderful.
Educated, highly educated people.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to just by accident fall upon his book.
Yeah.
And it's quite an interesting book.
Great. Yeah, the acid, so uric acid is one way to measure it. You can, I don't know if anyone has ever bought pH strips. You can buy your own pH strips.
Yes.
Very cheap, Amazon, wherever. And you can measure your urine and your saliva. Urine's the most accurate. Saliva's gonna change quite a bit based on what you just had in your mouth. Urine first thing in the morning is gonna give you a pretty good idea of where you are as far as acid and alkaline, which is very similar to that uric acid on a blood test. A kind of thing, and can tell you if you're more acid or alkaline. If you're acid, you're typically more toxic. You typically are gonna have, like he was saying, all of the common American diseases that come with that, for sure. So very good point.
Is that the strips that people use when they go on the keto diet?
No, that's to measure ketones.
So what?
So this is pH.
pH
okay. Strips. Yep. Mm-hmm. Cancer. Really like that can be up there. So 50% of people, I haven't checked it recently, 50% of Americans will get cancer. So it doesn't mean you'll die of it, but 50%, I think that's a couple years ago I checked it, will get cancer. So really good reason to fast, because I know anybody that wants.
Do you know Dr. Jordan Rubin?
Yes.
He talks about, I heard him talking about earthing one time, grounding.
Yeah.
And he said that Americans, our magnetic field or whatever you call it, energy field,
energetic,
should be 4.0. And Americans in this country, ours is 0.04.
As far as energy?
As far as immune system.
Oh,
keeping your immune system healthy because you're not touching the earth.
Right.
Because if people go from the house to the garage, get in the car, go to the parking lot, go from the office.
Yep.
So you never touch the ground all day.
I agree.
They don't ever take their shoes off.
No, and walk in the grass.
It's okay to have dirty feet, people.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It is. It sure is.
Yep. All for that.
Once a week.
All right. Who's got the time? Because I have a tendency to just go on and on.
10:55.
What?
That's all right.
It's okay. All right. I'll finish this.
You can leave, and whoever wants to stay for the rest of it can.
Yeah. I'm gonna try to. Whoa. Okay. All right. We'll go through a little bit more. Okay. Gut imbalances. That is. I think we already talked about that, how it helps to reset your microbiome, gives your gut a rest, and the hormones we spoke of already as well. All right, go ahead. Let's try to get through this. All right, the spiritual effects, my favorite. All right, so to hear from the Father, again, of course, we talked about that a little bit. I mentioned, and I think, again, a couple of you agree, that the communication, I just feel like I could hear him better. And I've heard other people say same sort of thing. You can hear from him better. This is done with Yom Kippur, with repentance, right, and teshuvah and all of that. We're going to go through quite a few Bible verses. I may not spend a lot of time on Bible verses if you guys would rather talk about other stuff, because we didn't get to them today and I was hoping to. There's a lot of Bible verses and a lot of them have to do with repentance. Petitioning, right, when we're wanting something, when we're wanting his help with a friend, family, ourself. A lot of, in the Bible, you have basically fasting happening with prayer, very commonly. To do in obedience, another common one. To sacrifice something, right? So we're learned in Torah that sacrifice is of animal kind of nature, but we're told a lot in the prophets that he wants our obedience. He wants us. He doesn't want our burnt sacrifices. He wants our heart. He wants our obedience. So that's part of sacrificing that, I think, our fleshly desires, which is really what I think fasting is a big part of, because we don't do it because we want to eat, at least personally. That's been my thing. Emotional healing, as well. Now the temple, cleansing the temple, there's not a lot of scripture about that, but when you look at the Old Testament, and you look at all the rules and all the stipulations there was to the tabernacle and the temple, and how everything needed to be exact and pure and cleanly. What about our temple? We are a temple.
Yes.
Are we desecrating it? I have. You know, what are we putting in it? And that's, of course, all the things we look at, all the people we listen to. But our food, we are what we eat. Yeah. Your cells can only be the food you consume. Yeah. And if you never give your body a break from those foods, it can't get rid of what it's built up over the years. So this, I think, is huge. Possession and demons, there's at least one verse I've got, you know, that fasting we'll go over. And then food for others. So what that basically means is, I've heard it taught and it's a good lesson, is that part of what you can do when you're fasting is you take all of what you would have eaten and you give it to others that are in need. Because we in America are the land of plenty. We are overfed and undernourished. Right? So we don't need to eat most of the time. We want to. We're used to. We do. We eat when we're not hungry. We eat when we're celebrating. We eat when we're out. We eat when we're social. We eat when we're bored. We eat when we're stressed. But we usually don't always need to. And there are people in this world that if they don't eat, they're going to die. And part of what we can do is we are becoming one. I think when you're fasting and you're so hungry, it's like you can come so aware of other people in that situation and be like, I'm choosing this. And if I wanted to go in my kitchen, I could go eat. Those people out there, whether they're homeless, whether they're in another country and there's no food, whatever it is, they can't. They can't. They are just stuck in that situation. And they may die in that situation. So I think that's a really good thought, that we can then take what we're not consuming and bless somebody else with it. So, okay. Go to the next one. Okay, so this is where I get into scriptures. So we are probably close to 11 o'clock. So what I plan on going over tomorrow is actually kind of walking through a fast, how to do it. I was hoping to get through all these scriptures today. I'm going to probably just ask you all with a show of hands, because I'm here for, I don't care what we talk about. I don't care what we go over. I want to just help you. So I don't really have an agenda here. Would you guys, I guess.
Can you at least get through them?
Yeah, we can, but like, would you, as far as next, are most of you going to be here tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay, so for those of you that plan on being here tomorrow, would you like to go through scripture, or would you like to spend the bulk of it going over how to fast and what that looks like? So, scripture? Both. And the bulk of how to fast?
Yes.
Okay, so that's what we'll do. So what I'll do is, I don't have anything else to do more than this. So I will stay and go over scripture now. Anybody that, because right, we don't have anything. Is there anything in here at 11? Okay. I don't think so, right? Nothing at 11?
There's nothing in Tommy's service.
Okay. Good. So I'll stay here. Anybody can leave. Not going to hurt my feelings. We'll go through scripture. There's a lot. So bear with me. And then tomorrow, so we'll end at the scripture, and tomorrow we'll get into fasting. Okay. So this here, the first set of scriptures is to hear from, that's a question. I'm sorry. You've been have that up for a while.
I don't remember what I was going to ask.
I'm sorry. Just yell at me.
Is detoxification, is fasting the only mode for doing detoxification?
No, not at all.
You pick a certain part of your body that needs to be healed. Let's say in my case, prostate.
Uh-huh.
Is there something I can cut out of the diets? Well, I know sugar's bad for you. I know that. Cut that out, but is there other things that you can do?
Right, so
fasting is like my main course.
Yeah, so fasting is just the theme for today of what I'm talking about, but there's all flavors of detoxification. So that's more like the urinary system, right, in all that area. So doing kind of more of like a urinary detox or kidney is kind of what it would be labeled as.
Yep.
To process all of that out would be what you could do, that you wouldn't have to water fast. Again, you know, you could do a juice type fast, you can do some intermittent fasting. You could do just a modified diet fast where you just say, okay, I'm not going to eat these certain foods because they're not good for what I'm doing right now. And I'm going to spend like, you know, 2 to 4 weeks or whatever, just not eating those things. And maybe taking some things that help to heal the area. And yeah, I mean, there's a...
So what are some things that he would want to cut out of his diet, like sugar?
So what is the diagnosis that, do you have a label?
Prostatitis, and there's two spots on the prostate that they want to do a biopsy on, 50-50 chance either it's cancer or it's benign.
Okay.
So I'm doing frankincense right now.
Okay. Yeah, so I mean, you'd want to support immune system, and then of course your urinary system. So it helped to kind of know your symptoms. So if you wanted to talk later, I'd gladly talk to give you like a little bit more of a better idea. But I would do anything that's immune supporting. I would do anything that's kidney supporting. That can be herbs. Frankincense is a good one. And then there's going to be things that are specifically healing to the prostate, if that's all it is. But if there's any kind of growth, tumor, cyst, fibroid, anytime there's a mass, In the natural world, as far as I'm schooled, it's whether it's cancer or whatever label medical puts on it, it's immune system. It's your immune system taking whatever is in the area, toxin, chemicals, pollutants, cellular debris, whatever it is, and saying, I can't handle all this right now, so I'm going to put it somewhere else and encapsulate it in a little bowl and deal with it later. So it kind of protects you from whatever is there. So that just speaks to me that you need immune, you know, that would be immune system. If there's something, whether it's whatever label they want to put on it, you know, that would be immune system. Yeah.
I just want to say something to that too.
I'm sorry, hold on.
Emotion.
Can I not be done?
Whatever you have.
Or can I pause, stop this, and sickness? I'm
going
to continue.
You can keep going.
Okay.
You have to bring that to me.
Okay, where are you?
I'm in the lodge upstairs all the way to the right.
Okay.
When you finish.
Is that okay?
As long as you want.
All right, thank you. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I would also look into the emotions.
Yes.
There's a book called Feelings Buried Alive Never Die.
It's a good one.
And that can also, because you want to work on your physical, spiritual, but your emotions too. I remember a couple emotions. There's like, they'll give you like some different options of different emotions that can be related to like prostate cancer and stuff like that. And then just, you know, you can get an essential oil to help you with that. Just go to the Father and try to do that too, along with the other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah?
We went on a high water diet. And we ate, I think, a tablespoon of salt, and it helped to be like Celtic or the salt that has minerals in it, a day. And what we did, we walked on the balls of our feet for an hour. You have to do it slowly.
Okay.
But by the time
The rebounder as well, but okay. Just be on the balls of your feet.
Okay.
But anyways, by the time that was over, we had both lost. I mean, I was down to 155 or something like that. I don't know how. I don't want to say how much she lost. But anyway,
thank you.
But anyway, you talk about youthful. Mine. A1C was just as normal as it can be. My blood pressure had gone to where it should be, like a 20-year-old. Mm. And
energy, mind clarity,
all that.
And we fell off the wagon.
And then as far as, and I don't know how to
Jerry,
say that in a mix.
It made a difference. Yeah. You felt young.
You could tell. You could,
yes.
Yeah.
Like a 17-year-old.
And you would think without eating, like, I'm going to be tired and wore out, but there's all this energy.
Yeah.
When you're not even consuming calories.
Because
it's not coming from our food.
Well, we were consuming calories, but it was a certain amount of calories,
okay.
And it was not, and you had to be very careful.
Every two hours, we ate.
Okay.
But a small amount.
Gotcha. Okay. Way less than what you normally would be having.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Did you want to go? You don't have to keep.
Me?
Yeah, do you need to go? Okay, I don't want to keep you here past the session or anything.
If we don't understand our bodies,
okay.
If we don't understand that there is greater things in store for us with Him, we have to have a clear mind, and it starts with what you're talking about.
Okay, I just want to make sure you feel like you're.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
I am your assistant today, tomorrow, the next day. I'll go with you wherever you
go. Oh, Jason.
You're being funny now.
Can
you tell?
All right, so these are the first sets of them. Okay, Exodus. There's another one of this in Deuteronomy. Yahuwah said unto Moses, write thou these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with Yahuwah 40 days and 40 nights. He did eat neither bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. That's a dry fast for 40 days and 40 nights. Don't do that. I would say, don't do that. Don't do what Moses did until the Father takes you up on a mountain and gives you, you know, and does all that tells you to go up there.
He did it twice.
Right?
Have you heard of anybody doing that in today's time?
Yes.
Not for 40. I have no.
Yeah, 40 days and look healthy as a horse at the end of 40 days.
No, shining and glowing and.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I have a friend that did that 40-day fast.
Not, they drank water though.
Nope. He did a 40-day fast.
He did not drink water.
Nope.
I've never heard
amazing.
Of anybody doing more than 10 days of a dry fast.
I'll take it back. I don't think that he drank water because he was really in a very bad situation. And he needed total submission to the Almighty.
Because I've known people that have gone beyond and have died.
Right.
So I would... Yeah, I would highly, 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 highly caution against dry fasting.
He came out of it, and he's fine.
If praise the Father for that. That is amazing. So, this is Moses' standard. All right, next.
Yeshua's
too. We'll get to him. And as he, Elijah, lay and slept under a juniper tree, I'll give you context on this one. This was when Jezebel, or somebody else want to give context?
That's right, when he's running away from Jezebel.
When he's running away from Jezebel, yep. He basically wants to die, right? And as he, Elijah, lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. And the angel of Yahuwah came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat, or food, for 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. This is when Elijah wanted to die, basically, right?
Yeah.
Instead, 40-day dry fast again.
He tried really hard.
Yeah.
To die.
Right. He got something better, I think. So, okay. Next slide, please. All right. So, this is where we get into Luke. So they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees? So here we are saying that it is well known to fast often. With prayer. It's common knowledge. John's disciples were doing it. But thine eat and drink. So this is talking to Yeshua, right? And Yeshua said to them, can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. Mm-hmm. So that's us, right?
Yep.
Okay, next please. Acts. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to Yahovah and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Clearly, fasting was a part of what they were doing in the new church. It was important. That was how they were helping, in my understanding, to get the Father's blessings on these people and to get a clear understanding of who was then going to be blessed and put into action. All right, repentance. We're probably more familiar with this with Yom Kippur, but go ahead. First Samuel, God said, gather all Israel to Mizpeth, and I will pray for you unto Yahuwah. And they gathered together to Mizpah, drew water, poured it out before Yahuwah, and fasted on that day, and said there, we have sinned against Yahuwah. And Samuel judged the children of Israel, Mizpeth. So, go back, honey. Thanks. Back, if you could. Just hit the other arrow in the other direction.
Sorry about
that. That's okay. You're fine. So, this is fasting. We're going to see a lot of this fasting for repentance because they are sorry. So we can sit here and say, you know, Father, I'm sorry, and repent. But it's almost like, you know, we have the story of some of the stories of when, I think it was Reuben, right? Where he just didn't go and have any pleasant thing to eat because he was so sorry for what he had done. He just stopped eating pleasant things. And it's like your soul is so grieved, like, I'm just not even going to eat. That's the kind of sorrow and repentance I feel that is associated with. Okay. Go ahead. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting, sackcloths, and earth upon them. So you'll see a lot of this in the prophets, that there is a lot of fasting associated with the prophets because they were telling everybody, hey, stop doing this, stop doing that. And they're like, okay, we need to repent. Fasting. The sackcloths. Anybody have a good understanding of the sackcloths? And does anybody use sackcloths? Does anybody do that?
Sackcloths are usually for mourning.
But why don't we do it?
I don't know.
Because you'll see that a lot of times with all the time you'll see that. And putting dirt on yourself. You know, it's kind of like a darkened time.
Connie,
what's that?
The dirt, earthing.
All right, and the earth can be healing, and Yeshua used it to heal, right, as well. Hi, come on in if you are here for class. All right, go ahead for the next one. Joel, sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and the inhabitants of the land into the house of Yahuwah your God, and cry out unto Yahuwah. So, here they are together calling a fast, because of course everybody doing it together would be powerful.
And the next verse is gather the children. I don't know if y'all have ever gone, it's a scripture song. And the next one is sanctify your fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the children.
Thank you for that. Very good. Yep, next. Joel 2. Therefore also now saith Yahuwah, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto Yahuwah your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. So this speaks to what we saw in Samuel too, right? We're just so torn with what we've done. And he, of course, doesn't want the physical appearance. He wants a physical appearance of us being sad. He wants us to afflict ourselves.
And I wonder if that's why we don't use the sackcloth now, right?
Instead
of doing the physical, we're actually, you know, turn to me even with your heart, you know, with weeping and mourning, rather than, and it says, and rend your heart and not your garments. Right. So maybe that's why we don't do the sackcloth now. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought.
Yep.
Awesome.
Okay, next please. Jonah, to the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest even to the least of them, which yes, would be children, right? I would think. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. Water again. Then he went without water. So, yeah, repentance again. They're very sad for what they were doing. Go ahead.
I mean, down to the animals.
Yeah. Nobody. Jonah 3, but let a man and beast be covered with sackcloth. This is continuation, I'm sorry. Let men and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away his fierce anger that we perish not? So again, because they were, this is also petitioning, right? They're wanting repentance, but they're also wanting to be heard. They're wanting the Father to turn away their judgment, basically. Okay, go ahead. Okay, so then we get into petitioning and how fasting can help with petitioning. Go ahead. Okay, 2 Samuel. And Nathan departed unto his house, and Yehuah struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day, this sounds like a seventh day fast, that the child died. Go ahead and push the arrow, we're continuing. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spoke to him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? Good point. But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Go ahead, one more. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, and came into the house of Yahuwah and worshipped. Worshipped. Once his child is dead. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is that that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. One more, I think. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious unto me? The child may live. But now he was dead. Therefore should I fast? Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. I love these verses. This is powerful, because oftentimes we do the other thing, right? When once somebody has passed, then we're sorrowful. But if we can approach that while they're sick and truly, you know, I love the example David gave us of petitioning at that point when it's really needed and trusting him completely, and he did, and the child didn't live, and it was still good. You know, and so that's a good one. Yeah. Oh, your question?
Last sentence is mm-hmm. a powerful testimony and promise to us all, isn't it?
It is. Okay, next one. 2 Chronicles. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazarenotamar, which is En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek Yahuwah, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask of Yahuwah, even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek Yahuwah. So proclaiming a large fast again here, again for petition. For petition. Go ahead. Ezra 8. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and you're welcome. And he was entreated of us. So here we even have an extra bonus, where it was well for them as they wanted it to be at the end of that. Go ahead. Esther. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, he rent his clothes, put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out into the midst of the city, and cried with a loud and bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So, seems almost just there was no proclamation. It's just wherever that decree went, that's what people did. It's almost just, it was just the natural response. This is how I take that. All right, go ahead. Daniel. All right, in the first years of his, this is Darius's reign, I, Daniel, understood by books that number of the years whereof the word of Yahuwah came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto Yahuwah God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Next slide. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. He informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of your supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee. For thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. So here we have, Daniel petitioning, of course, now for other people, not for himself, but he is doing this to please help me get an understanding here and help others with this. So, okay, next slide. So, improved prayer connections. So we've got some verses on this one. So go right ahead for me. Nehemiah. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before God of heaven. So this, who wants to give me context? I don't remember the context of this one. I've got it written down.
Is that when he heard that Jerusalem was stagnant?
Could very well be. Nehemiah 1. He had heard about, this is when he heard about the captivity. That Jerusalem and the walls had fallen and all of that. So,
ruins and he wanted to go and help build it.
So, this is, you know, basically, he's weeping, he's mourning, he's fasting, he's praying. And if you read further, a lot of it has to do with helping them, wanting to help them communicate with the Father and all that. So, next one. Acts 14, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to Yahuwah, on whom they believed. So this one here is talking about basically when they were, I think this is when they were, I didn't write this one down, this is when they were doing all the apostles and making all of the, putting the blessings over everybody and sending them out, I believe. I don't have the context of all these. Go ahead. Obedience. So doing this because we are told to, commanded to, for him. Matthew 4. Then was Yeshua led up of the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Oh, okay. Only took 40 days. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So most of us have probably heard this one plenty of times, 40 days and 40 nights and that. But the interesting thing, a couple interesting things here is I think he went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So that is almost the reason he went. It seems to me. And the other thing here is he went into the wilderness. Now, I think that's important for one thing, because it can be difficult to fast for long periods of time when you're in your usual environment. When you go out to the wilderness, there's not much there. There's nature there. That's about it. You know, generally, not going to be cities. There's not going to be people. You're going to just be you, nature, the Father, and that's it.
Could it also be considered the unknown? Like, I came in here to this camp. I didn't know anybody except for Roger. I ran into Roger once. That was cool. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know anybody. I came into the unknown.
I wasn't going to be tempted because I knew where I was. But could it be that us just being out there in the world, you know, because that's where all the temptation is out in the world. Wilderness full of evil.
Yeah.
You know.
That's
of course, we could think of wilderness as a peaceful place, but it's not that
right.
far.
That's a good perspective. I like that. Yeah.
In the wilderness, you have extreme conditions.
Yeah.
You could go from
you could.
To really cold to...
You could, yeah, for sure, especially without protection.
Mm-hmm. It would depend on him. Can you see?
Yeah. Yep, completely. Completely. Yep. Okay. All right. Next one. Luke 4. And Yeshua, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. This is the same account, right? And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made to bread. And Yeshua answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So again, led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So I think it's important. Okay, Matthew 6. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. So first thing with that is, it's common to fast. Then it was, because... Here we are casually talking about it. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And the Father which is seeing in secret shall reward thee openly. So, you know, we're not to moan and groan and make everybody know, hey, this is what I'm doing, and... Because if we get all our accolades from people, then that's our reward. You know, when they say, good job. I think we still need to talk about it to teach people and help them learn. But it's between us and him, my opinion. It's, yeah. Go ahead. Luke 2. And there was on Anna... a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. Long time. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. For a long time. Long time. Go ahead. Okay. Don't have tons of quotes on these, but we got one of them. I'll let you guys take a picture. Okay, go ahead. Probably know this one. Mark 9. When Yeshua saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter nor more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came, thank you, Elise, came out of him, and he was as one dead. Insomuch that many said, He is dead. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing. 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 But prayer and fasting. And. So, if we're just praying about somebody that is dealing with this type of situation, some are not going to get improvement unless there's fasting. Go ahead. Okay. Now we have the whole bulk of all the other reasons. There's quite a few of these. Go ahead.
Okay. Everybody's done.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. Judges 20. Then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came unto the house of God and wept and sat there before Yahuwah and fasted that day till evening. And offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before Yahuwah. Okay. 1 Samuel 31. When the inhabitants of Gibeah-Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night, took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan, and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh, and fasted 7 days. Just, that's a long time. 7 days. Okay? 2 Samuel 1. Then David took hold of his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and Jonathan his son, and for the people of Yahuwah, and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword.
And may I add to this?
Yeah.
Saul hated David, mm-hmm. and yet his enemy prayed and fasted and yeah. wept and mourned.
Yeah, right. There was Jonathan, too, who he was really close to.
Yeah, he loved Jonathan.
Right, I mean, that's...
But still, right. if it was just Saul, mm-hmm. and Jonathan had lived, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, he would have done it.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead. Ezra 10. Then Ezra rose up from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Johanan, the son of Eliashib. And when he came thither, he did eat no bread nor drink water. For he mourned because of the transgression of them that had been carried away. A lot of these are for mourning. I feel like most of us, when we're mourning, are given food. Mm-hmm. Lots of it. The exact opposite.
Yeah.
You know? It's like eat away your pain. No. Don't eat away your pain. Thanks for coming. You know, because if we're, when we're sad and all we're doing is eating, it's not... Not a good combination. All right, go ahead. Oh, Psalms 35.
Sorry.
No, you're good. You're ahead of me. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. So, used as a humbling tool to humble oneself. Go ahead. Zechariah 8. And the word of Yahuwah of hosts came unto me, saying, Thus says Yahuwah of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore love the truth and peace. So this is an interesting, verse to me that I don't completely understand. So if anybody wants to enlighten me on what all those fasts are, I would welcome that.
But then he says, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feast, which is the total opposite of a fast.
But it's still,
yeah.
Feasts in this, as far as I remember, is like we call them feast days, but they're not all feasting. They're like they're those set apart. Those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I see. Set apart.
If I recall.
That makes sense.
But yeah. So here we have specific days that were set apart for that. And yeah, the point here, which you already made, is it was for joy and gladness. So it was a happy occasion to be fasting here. Wonderful. Go ahead.
Not like the ones that we just read, the other one that we read before, that we're not supposed to let people know that we're fasting. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be cheerful and glad and have truth and peace and love while we're fasting, so that He could be honored and glorified, because like you said, fasting is between us personally and the Almighty. Nobody needs
right.
to know.
Well, right, like he was saying to the Pharisees, you know, don't have a downtrodden face and like, you know, poor me kind of
well,
thing.
Wash your face.
Yeah, be happy, be joyful. It is a happy time, should
yes.
be. Might not feel great to our flesh, but our spirit is rejoicing, because anything that doesn't feed our flesh is our spirit.
Yes.
So the spirit is rejoicing, not the flesh. Flesh is
I was reading
dying.
After a rabbi just before Yom Kippur, and he said that Yom Kippur is the happiest day of the year.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
And because it's the day God forgives our sins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't the Jews have certain days of trial, if you will? One of them, like they fasted for rain, and I think maybe the 10th month.
Is that part of what this is speaking to?
And what it's talking about is those days are no longer going to be occasions of trial, but they're going to be occasions of joy.
Thank you for sharing that.
Well, yeah. April would be, oh my goodness, barley harvest.
April.
I don't know what 5th would be.
Well, 4th would be.
Yeah, harvest.
No, it wouldn't be April. It would be.
April's the first.
Yeah, so April. Well, that would be the middle of the summer.
August.
Sorry.
So this would be some.
Would be August.
Yeah, sorry. July, August, and then September.
Maybe the 9th of August.
I have heard that might coincide with the new oil and the new wine, the day of the new oil, day of the new wine.
Well, they do the Esther fast too.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm going to have to go to their 2 days of Esther.
Well,
I don't know. I'm going to check it out.
If anybody gets more info on this, you take my card and have my information. I'd love to hear it because I've wondered what this is really about here. Okay.
The 7th is would be
right, but then we got the 10th there too, so
the
nothing
Esther the 10th
would Esther was
the
10th. The 4th or 5th would be 9th of Av. I'm not sure.
I think that as far as I know that could possibly be oil and wood, but yeah, I don't know.
Sorry, I started with January bad.
No, you're not. No, okay. you were just thinking of the wrong calendar. That's okay. No problem there. All right, go ahead. Acts 9. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. And they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. 3 day dry fast. No water, no food. Because he was blind, right? I'm going to guess he was a little shook up. Right? Right? Go right ahead. Acts 27. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat. This is when they're on the boat, and the boat's all rickety-rackety. And this day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. So these people on the boat went 14 days fasting. I don't know if they drink water, but they certainly weren't eating. Wherefore, I pray you to take some meat or food, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. So it sounds to me like they were fasting because of this problem they were in on the boat. And Paul said, eat.
Yeah, they needed that protein to get to shore.
They needed something. All right, okay, so back up a slide.
Oh, sorry.
You're okay. I don't know where my end was either. Okay, so that's the conclusion of all of the scriptures. There's more than this, but these were the ones that I thought were pretty good. So tomorrow we'll go into kind of how to start a fast, what to do, how to make one, how to do one, all of that. Any questions? Any other questions that haven't been asked already from anybody?
Tomorrow, what time? Same time?
Tomorrow is 11 o'clock. No, 10 o'clock here. Yep, same time, same place. Okay, all right. And then I will say I should have said this earlier, I have cards with my information on it. I do operate a donation-based ministry where I see faith-based believers basically for free or donations. So I work with a lot of people in the Torah community. So I have flyers for that. I can work with you one-on-one. I do people all over the country. So all flyers are over here on the projector, so I'll leave those there if you want to grab one. And yeah, we're all done for today. Thank you all for coming and being interested in your health. Turn the slide on.